She'll be joined live on the phone by Mark Byrne, who is CEO at Chime. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, George.
Good morning. Not a bad morning, not an absolutely fantastic morning either, but kind of middling and still no snow, so happy days.
Yeah, anyway. Not bad for December.
No, it's not. No, it's not. We've had worse. Firstly, Mark, can you tell us where you're based and perhaps a little bit about the history of Chime?
Yeah, thanks, George. So Chime was set up about 60 years ago as the National Association for the Deaf, and originally based in Dublin. But over the years, we've expanded. We now have about 11 locations around the country.
Wow.
And typically what we do, George, is we provide three main types of services for people who are experiencing trouble through their deafness or hearing loss or tinnitus or other conditions or problems. And the types of service we provide really are kind of community care services, so social workers, or we have a mental health support team. We would provide general advice and information, so what are people's rights and entitlements and what funding or whatever can they access to their local I suppose Department of Social Welfare, Department of Social Protection offices. And then thirdly, we have technology services, so we would help a lot of schools access the right technology if they have a child with a hearing loss in their school, or maybe household products that, you know, people might need access to, a vibrating doorbell or a smoke alarm, those kinds
yeah.
of products. So that's broadly what we do.
And for those services, Mark, how important are they to the people who use them?
Yeah, I suppose we find that they're critical in a lot of cases, George. You know, especially, I suppose our role is really to support some of the most vulnerable people that have problems through their deafness or hearing loss. And you know, it might seem like a simple product, that a vibrating smoke alarm, but for somebody's quality of life, those type of products can be huge.
Mm.
We also find that social isolation is a massive problem, as you can imagine, with lack of hearing, communication can often be a barrier, and we find that people retreat into themselves, and some of our key services around the mental health piece and social involvement and community involvement. So we find we have a huge impact on people's quality of life here.
As far as the state is concerned, Mark, does the state offer enough supports and services for these people at the minute, or is that void filled by people like yourselves?
Well, I suppose, so to be fair, we are about two-thirds funded by the state, so
okay.
The state contribute to a lot of our activities. But equally, I suppose, an organisation like us, we always want to do more, and there's definitely deficits in some of the services that we try and provide, like our mental health team, for example, is a three-person team covering the whole of the country, which isn't adequately enough to resource. Equally, we would love to have more locations around the country, you know, providing those kind of community services that we do provide. So, look, there's a lot more we could do. We are hoping to launch a residential service. So, again, there's for the most vulnerable deaf clients that we would see, often it's an accommodation need as well as the support need that will be there. So we're looking at launching a pilot hopefully in the new year to try and start those residential services. So I suppose there's good support from the state to answer your question, but there's obviously a lot more we can do.
Mm-hmm. As far as these services are concerned themselves, Mark, how can people access them? Can they give you a ring, or can they knock on your door, or do people have to be referred by a GP or some other organisation to access those services?
No, absolutely. People can come directly to us. Chime.ie is our website. Obviously, we would be engaged with other professionals like GPs that make referrals, but absolutely people can come to us directly. And I suppose one of the things that we've tried to do, George, over the last month with our change of name and relaunch of the organisation, we've also launched an information helpline for people who are struggling with acquired hearing loss as opposed
to great.
Maybe born deaf or sign language users. And if I can give out the number for that, it's 1800.
Absolutely, please do, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you give that out once more?
So that was 1800. Yeah, 1800 256 257. And I suppose one of the problems we have in this country, George, is that people tend to wait a long time before actually doing something about their hearing loss. So statistics would show that we've 1 in 7 of us is going to experience a hearing loss at some stage in our lives. But typically, people wait 8 to 10 years before they'll do something about it. And so we just urge people, if they're listening in and they're struggling with their hearing loss, just pick up the phone, as I say, 1800-256-257, or visit us at chime.ie. And, you know, we'll be there to support people. People are often embarrassed to actually make that first step and, you know, a little bit of a stigma around wearing hearing aids. And, you know.
Well, that was...
So we just encourage...
The word stigma is written down right in front of me, and that was part of my next question, Mark. Is there still a bit of a stigma attached to wearing hearing aids?
I think, unfortunately, there is. I think people associate it with getting older. But we're also finding a shift that there's newer, much more discreet hearing aids where people are you know, not seeing them as maybe as intrusive as before. And... like some of the modern technology with hearing aids is superb. You know, basic things like, you know, if you're in a pub, you can drown out the background noise, which makes socializing and getting out in public that bit more, slightly easier for people. So we're starting to see a shift, but unfortunately, I think there is overall still a bit of hesitancy about wearing hearing aids.
Just back to the helpline that you've just launched, Mark. How much of a difference do you hope it will make, and how many people can you cater for?
Yeah, well, I suppose we in terms of the phone line, what we're seeing at the moment is about 10 calls a day, so we know there's a demand there. So that's just a recently launched initiative that you would expect maybe to take a bit of time to build up, but already we're seeing that number of calls a day. So we've plenty of capacity to help support people. And we're finding we're making a big impact, whether that's encouraging somebody just to come in for a hearing test or just go to their local audiologist for a hearing test, or even just to know that there might be a social support group available to somebody who's struggling with a little bit of isolation. So we really feel we can make a powerful difference in somebody's life if they're willing just to pick up that phone or drop us an email or get in touch with our website, you know.
I had my own hearing tested when I went to back to college there a few years ago. I was studying sound, and I realised that kind of like particularly in my right ear, I'd lost the entire top range of my hearing. Now, that comes with age and probably listening to music too loud, as I do quite a lot of my headphones. Yeah. And that came as a bit of a shock to me. Now, I can still hear. My hearing is still perfectly fine, but it's just very high frequency things that I can't hear anymore. But for people who might be suffering hearing losses that... are a bit more serious than that, where they're finding it difficult to engage in conversations with friends, particularly when they're out in kind of noisy environments. If they are concerned, what's the first thing that these people should do?
Yeah, I suppose what I would ask people to do is maybe contact an organisation like ourselves, and we can point them in the right direction. I think what we don't want people to do is... to avoid going out, to avoid dealing with it. And I think that's one of the problems we have, that people just wait too long to do something about it. Unfortunately, the statistics show that if you don't do something about your hearing loss, you end up then being that little bit isolated. And in some cases, then that leads maybe to further problems, be it, you know, a little bit of mental decline. We know that dementia, the number one... way to avoid, 9% of dementia can actually be traced to hearing loss. And we find that if people do something about that hearing loss, it's probably the number one cause of dementia that can be addressed. So I suppose we don't want people to do nothing. We want them to be proactive about it and to take that first step, just to get in touch. Like I say, there's probably multiple ways that an organization like ourselves can help, be that through helping them access the right technology, be it maybe community or social supports, or just even the simple bit of advice and information to point somebody in the right direction, you know. Mm-hmm. So the one thing I would urge people is just to take that what might seem like a difficult first step or something that you can put off, just to be proactive about it and to get in touch with us.
And for people who've made that first step and they're just about to avail for the first time of the many services that you offer at Chime, how important is it for them to network with people who perhaps have been through the system maybe for a year or 2 years, so that they can kind of like take them under their wing and guide them through to make that just that phase in their lives a little bit easier?
Yeah, I think that's a great point, George, because I suppose one of the things we find is with the various services that we have, so we can help get somebody the right technology, but we can also help somebody kind of access those community groups or that one-to-one support that you touched on there. We find that the two things together, so it's the access to the right technology, but also that kind of one-to-one engagement or group engagement, and the two things combine really make the powerful difference to somebody's life. So if it's technology on its own, great, that can work, but we find when it's added to the either the one-to-one support or the group support, that's when we really see that it makes a massive difference in people's lives, you know. And it really is about getting over that first hurdle, you know, because again, in over 80% of cases that we would see, actually getting the hearing aid and getting involved in a social group will actually make that big difference, you know. So there's a huge, I suppose, satisfaction rate might be the wrong word, but huge benefit that we see that people, once they take that first step and access the hearing aids and the one-to-one support or the group support, it there's overwhelming success rates in terms of people's quality of life.
Absolutely. Just back to the helpline again, Mark. What will be the opening hours of the helpline? I'm not too sure whether it'll be limited or whether it'll be open 24 hours a day. Or will it have national access? It won't just be for Dublin. Would that be right?
No, correct. So it's a free phone number, which is accessible throughout the country, and it is so it's available to everybody, and it is 9:30 to 5:30 Monday to Friday at the moment, and like I say, if demand increases, we look to.
And can you give people a reminder of the phone number again, just in case they didn't catch it earlier?
Yeah, perfect. So it's 1-800-256-257. That's 1-800-256-257.
Now, everybody, even people my age, are doing social media these days. Have you a Facebook presence, a Twitter presence, maybe Instagram as well? Do you use social media?
Yeah, we're up on all the social media platforms. So, again, we've Chime Facebook page. And like I said earlier, we've as part of the name change, we've a new website as well at chime.ie that there's a lot of information for people to access on there.
In the final minute or so that we have left, Mark, have you any events planned for Christmas? Anything happening maybe early in the new year that you'd like to tell us about?
I suppose all of our local offices, so we've 11 offices around the country, and they all have Christmas parties, Christmas events that people are more than welcome to avail of. All those details again will be up on our website, and like I said, that's a really big part of what we do. It's not just the technology, but it's access to the kind of community sports, community events, and again, just to urge people to just to take the first step and reach out and see. Hopefully we can help everybody access that little bit of quality of life, rather than avoiding doing something about their hearing loss.
And you mentioned earlier you've been there or thereabouts for 60 years. Did I hear? Is that right?
Yeah. So the organisation, George, was originally set up as the National Association for the Deaf about 60 years ago.
Okay.
And primarily focused on helping the vulnerable deaf community. And while that's absolutely still a key part of our work, what we have found over the years is that more and more people are coming to us, say, with acquired hearing loss or what you might call old age associated hearing loss or you know, things like tinnitus. So that's why we actually went for the name change, just to have a broader kind of a name that really represented all the kind of groups that are coming to us for support, and have a kind of a positive sounding name that can really be engaging for people.
Well, Mark, thanks a million for taking time out to talk to us here on Near FM, and we'll talk to you in the new year. If you have anything happening, just please let us know, and we'll have a natter live on the radio. Great stuff. Thank you.
Brilliant.